listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 177 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin, and joining me is Chris. Chris, how are you?
I'm very, very confused. I looked at the calendar, and Thanksgiving is almost here.
Yes, it's next week, and by the time people hear this podcast, it will be Thanksgiving week. But I was talking to somebody, and like, oh, next week's Thanksgiving. I was like, what are you talking about? It's like still like 2-3 weeks away. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's here.
I mean, the election happened, and you know, not to give away my political leanings, but I'll just say that I was basically in a fog for the next week. And so then suddenly Thanksgiving's almost here. I'm like, wait, no, it's still beginning of November, isn't it?
Yeah, November's long gone. Yes. and it's lots of stuff happening. This is an exciting time of year to be a musician. So much going on, lots of opportunities to perform and whatnot. And we will be talking about all of that later on in the episode. Chris, I announced on one of the recent episodes that it's time for us to do another listener feedback show. We love doing those shows where we get to just take a bunch of questions and hear success stories, and you know, whether they're funny road stories or a cool success story or a tip that other artists can learn from. So I'm gonna put that call out again. If you've got a success story, a question, or some feedback for the show, we want to get those in. So it'll probably be the next episode that we do the listener feedback show. So while you're eating your Thanksgiving turkey and sitting there thinking about your career and your life and everything else, call our show, 360-524-2209, or email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com, or you can post a question or comment on the show notes for this episode, which is at cdbabypodcast.com.
Do you remember the caller? This is probably my favorite caller contribution. The one who thought he was going to do something really rock star and at the very beginning of his set leaped against the wall beside the stage, and I think it was like really flimsy drywall or something, and he just went through it.
Yes, absolutely. How could I forget? And I think I met that guy somewhere, like at one of the conferences. I don't know if he was at our conference or if he was at a different conference, but he was like, Kevin, I don't know if you'll remember me. I'm the one that called in when my foot went through the wall. I'm like, how could I forget that one?
I was just going to say,
they even had pictures of it.
You were soliciting, you know, success stories and questions. And I would just like to say, if you have stories like that, we want
to
hear them too.
Those go right to the front of the line. Right. All stories of artist humiliation will go to the front of the line. Yeah, he even had a picture, and it was like the bathroom hallway was right next to the stage, so his foot went through basically two layers of drywall and stuck out the other side. But see, that's a memorable story. No one would have remembered if it had worked like he had planned.
Right.
That's why it's better when things go bad.
Just another rock star.
That's right. Now he's got a good story to tell. All right, so so we want to do that episode, so feel free to call, email, and leave messages. It's always a fun episode, and you know, we need a good selection. I've already gotten some coming in, and I'd like to get a few more, just so there's a good selection and make sure it's a lot of fun and useful. All right, let's get to the news.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
Music.
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 News.
Well, Twitter recently announced that it will be shutting down their popular video social network Vine. This came as a shock to musicians and other creators that have built huge followings and in some cases lucrative endorsement deals from their creative short videos. According to a post by Twitter, nothing is changing immediately. The website and apps will remain online for the time being, and users will be given a chance to download their Vine videos ahead of its official closure. The announcement was devoid of any explanations and what led to the decision, only stating that Twitter would share more news on its blog and via its social Twitter account in the future regarding what comes next. SoundCloud has rolled out some changes that should make creators on the platform happy. SoundCloud has announced that it is speeding up the pace of approving creators to share revenue from SoundCloud Go subscription and advertising revenue. While their Premiere program will continue to be invite-only for now, SoundCloud says that their goal is to eventually open the program up to everyone. SoundCloud has also added a highly requested new feature, the ability to edit track titles, genres, tags, and descriptions, and to choose whether a track is public, private, or downloadable within the SoundCloud Pulse app. This is definitely a nice to see after the frustration artists experienced when SoundCloud removed much of the ability for artists to edit their track in the older versions of the app. SoundCloud has also updated their creator guide that you can find on their website. Well, in sort of a news of the weird, drug use has become a rampant problem at EDM festivals, which has caused people to start taking action. The city of Buenos Aires, Argentina, has gone to the extreme, as not only are they banning future EDM festivals, but they have banned all music featuring synthesizers and samplers. The ban started back in April when six people overdosed at the Time Warp Festival. The organizers of the festival were investigated, and Mayor Horacio Rodriguez issued the ban as a temporary measure. The stop order covered all concerts featuring synthesizers and samplers, and debates over the next steps have effectively made the measure permanent. Clearly, that leaves more questions than answers, as pretty much every genre of music these days is using synthesizers. So that is the news. And that last one seemed like a really tough one to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're in a Pink Floyd cover band, you can't even play there.
Yeah, they were saying that Kraftwerk, you know, a very well-known EDM-type artist, although they were saying it isn't officially EDM, but had a concert in Buenos Aires that was already scheduled, and they're like, what does that mean for us? I guess that show is going to be allowed to go through, but yeah, it's like, what? How do you even keep that law? I mean, does your keyboard player just stay in the bus? It's so weird.
Yeah, and what about the like little indie, you know, folk singer who just has someone on a microcorg like in the background? Interesting.
That's how drugs get started, Chris. No more.
It's a gateway genre.
It's a gateway genre. Next thing you know, they're doing crystal meth. So. Anyway, very interesting.
And then with Vine, I had been thinking once Instagram kind of jumped into the video world and their, you know, their videos play on a loop. I don't think it made Vine obsolete, but it definitely like encroached on their territory. But I do like how in the Vine app, it's easier to kind of edit between, you know, different clips or different photos or whatever and still create the overall loop. But yeah,
it's one of those things where, you know, Vine became very popular. I've actually been on a panel, it's a couple years ago, that I was on a panel with an artist who was making thousands and thousands of dollars a month off of Vine, and he had like, you know, a million followers and had all these endorsement deals, and I thought, enjoy it while it lasts, because you're building your whole artist career on a platform that doesn't make any money. You know, you could say, well, what about YouTube? Well, YouTube has a revenue stream. They sell ads. They're very profitable. That platform is not going anywhere. But apparently, you know, the rumors were that this just became a resource suck for Twitter, who they themselves, because Twitter owns Vine, and they themselves are trying to figure out how they're going to survive. So it's one of those things where after this announcement, I was looking at my Twitter account going, is this even worth messing with anymore? Because they still haven't figured out how to monetize Twitter to its fullest capacity that they need in order to make money from it. Just a reminder, you need to own your fans.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, just as a reminder, when you start a business, make sure it's actually a business.
Well, that too. But no, I mean, the thing is with artists, it's like, Facebook, you know, a lot of artists for a while were putting a lot of effort into building up Facebook followings. And now, to me, the only benefit of Facebook is for events, that it is still good for organizing events and messaging your followers and building some momentum around a show. But I can't remember the last time any of the bands I follow had a post show up in my feed. It just doesn't happen. It's all fake news these days.
No, but I will say, A couple weeks ago, I posted a video, maybe 3 weeks ago. I posted it simultaneously to YouTube and Facebook. And on Facebook, within a day, it had had, you know, maybe a couple days, it had more than 3,000 views. I know that a lot of those are kind of, you know, tallying things that just start playing in your feed when you're not paying attention, or maybe the audio is not on. But on YouTube, I don't know, it maybe had a couple hundred views. But what I'm trying to get at is that the Facebook engagement, the number of likes, the number of shares and comments, was way higher than the number of likes on YouTube. So I felt like I was getting, for that particular purpose of sharing a video, I was getting a lot more interaction on Facebook.
Yeah, and that's what they're saying. And that is probably, if I back up my statement about it only being good for events, video has, certain kinds of video, I will say, perform much better on Facebook. But it was released, I think it was like last year or maybe earlier this year, that a lot of the views are being double, triple, quadruple counted based on, like what you said, it starts playing before I'm even, it's really even completely on my screen on my phone, and then it might run through a couple times, and then I actually click on it and listen to it, and it's counting all those views. So
yeah, I mean, I just felt like if you were measuring pure interaction with what you were watching, you know, in terms of likes or thumbs up on YouTube or comments or anything, even from that metric, it was clear that I was having more of a impact on Facebook with the exact same content.
Yeah, and Facebook still has to figure out monetization, and when they do, that's probably going to be a devastating blow to that, because they're going to have to crack down on a lot of things that currently get through the system that YouTube doesn't allow for, because it's, you know, copyright violation. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. But, you know, not to get political at all, but I almost feel like this last election broke social media in general. Like, I was just wanting someone to post a pretty picture on Instagram again instead of something, and just something about how they're upset about this person or that person. I was just like, I would just want to go back to when people were posting pictures of their cool guitars. That's all I wanted to see.
Well, that was what I was looking forward to about this whole election. I could just go back to 4 more years of apathy. Now, I have to get a whole lot less lazy now.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
it's interesting. The whole Vine thing was just a stark reminder to me that, you know, some of these social networks could go at any time. And so what's your backup plan? How are you, engaging with these networks and building an audience is fine and good, but how are you siphoning those to your own websites, your own email list, where you own that relationship? Because you would hate to wake up one day and find out that Twitter is no more, and suddenly those thousands of followers you built up are gone. And so how are you harnessing that to own the relationship? That's the important reminder. So yeah, and SoundCloud, it's finally making some good steps back towards being a platform for creators. There was a while where they were starting to trim all those things out of their app, and it was making it look like they were just trying to be another Spotify, which they are. But it was good to see that they have been adding a lot of these features back in that allow people to use the platform, especially with the mobile app. I used to use the mobile app all the time to record song ideas and such, but then they took all that out. And so I'm going to have to re-download this mobile app and check it out again. All right. Well, that's the news. And as we said at the top of the show, it is heading into the holiday season. And I don't think I mentioned this at the top of the show, Chris, but I have to put a major plug for, this is the time to get your music distributed right now. Don't wait till December 20th, or December 24th. You'd be surprised at how many artists call and email us on December 24th, freaking out, trying to get their music live by Christmas Day. That plan isn't going to work. So you need to get your music out there now. And it's the one time of year when people are buying music like crazy. It's the one time where they're streaming music like crazy. They're making playlists. They're getting gift cards. They've got new devices, so they're exploring you know, maybe Spotify for the first time and trying to find new music to check out. So you want your music out there. I think it's going to be a great holiday season for artists. All signs are pointing that way. And so go to members.cdbaby.com, sign up your album, sign up your song, get it out there now. A little known secret, I will let all our podcast listeners know first, we just launched integrated cover song licensing into the sign-up process for singles. So if you've got a Christmas cover song you want to do, or just a cover song in general, we can now license it for you right within the CD Baby sign-up process. It makes it super easy. And cover
you
songs.
Take all the mechanical licenses out as you go, so you don't need to really worry about renewing your license or anything like that. We just deduct
Correct.
It right from your pay.
And it's just a one-time fee. Other people charge reoccurring fees for this service. It's just a one-time fee. And doing a cover song or a Christmas cover is a great way to have something new to energize your music over the holiday season.
We have published on the DIY Musician blog, we've published the deadlines. You know, if you want to get your song up on, say, Apple Music or Spotify, you know, by such and such a date, we show you what date you need to get it to us by and have it sort of finalized and approved for digital distribution if you really want to be detailed about it. But basically just do it right now.
Right now. Stop and go do it. Because I talk to artists every year that are beating themselves up like, I didn't get this done in time, and like, or I just procrastinated. And even get your old catalog up there. It's the time when people want to listen to music and they've got free time to do it. So take advantage of that. Members.cdbaby.com. All right. It is the holidays. And one of the things I love about the holidays is some of the things that it brings up that make it so much easier for artists to promote their music and opportunities for them to get out and play. And so we're going to be discussing that in this episode. We're titling the episode, The Musician's Guide to Conquering the Holidays. So this will hopefully give you some ideas.
A real competitive title.
That's
Conquering
right.
Conquering the Holidays.
Conquering, that's right. We're taking over. No, but it is, the holidays are great because there's so many parties and so many things that happen where music's used, music is performed, and so much that people are thinking about that ties back to music, that it's really an opportunity for artists to, you know, get some extra momentum. So we're going to be discussing that today. So where do you want to start, Chris?
Well, I think we should start with what you already mentioned, which is pick your favorite holiday song and record it and put your own spin on it and distribute it to the world, because it's a great way to have total strangers discover you as an artist. Like, you know, let's say you've done O Holy Night and it's on Spotify and someone searches through and maybe they find it directly by searching, or maybe it appears in a playlist that they're listening to and suddenly they're in love with your whole catalog, hopefully. I think that's an obvious place to start. And then, like you said, with CD Baby's cover song licensing service for singles, it's super easy to take care of all the red tape, I guess, that's usually around cover songs.
Yeah, and their holiday songs are great because it's an easy way for you, especially if you are in the middle of like an album cycle, like you don't have new music coming out till the summer and it's been like a year and a half since your last album. It's a great way to just throw something out there, even if it's not like the total top-notch professionally recorded track. A lot of people, you know, they're not necessarily expecting that with Christmas releases, which can be a positive or a negative. But that being said, it's just, you know, get something out there. It's so easy to get it out there that engage your fans that way. And
if you have, a kind of sizable fan base already, you don't need to record a popular Christmas tune. You could, like your band, Small Town Poets, did. Write your own original holiday themed material and your fans will love that and share that. And, then you're really kind of targeting the music to a season, but also using your compositional skills and all that stuff. So it's, you know, slightly more creative, I guess.
Yeah, maybe you'll write the next holiday classic. And, you know, the one thing that's interesting that I've been seeing is that the cool thing with having some Christmas and holiday music out there is it has a reoccurring life every year. It's funny, logging into our CD Baby account and seeing the trending reports. I don't know if it was the election season or what, but people are definitely ready for Christmas and have started streaming and downloading Christmas music much earlier than last year. And it's been fun to watch that and go, hey, this album's 2 years old, but it's you know, starting to get added to new Spotify playlists and all these things. And so that's a benefit of it. Well, it has kind of a recurring life.
The seasonal Band-Aid for your election woes.
That's right. Christmas music. Well, here's one that I've got on my list of items that I think is important is to make a special discount bundle where people buy two and get one free, even if it's just at your shows. Start thinking about how people are giving gifts and the idea that this is a time of year when people are willing to be upsold. And so they're typically, you know, going to the mall and they're seeing somebody say, hey, buy two pairs of socks and get one free. And people go crazy for that stuff. So this is the time of year when that kind of stuff works really well. And so whether it's at your show, I think you can do that on Bandcamp. You can make bundles. Those are two places I would recommend setting up a special bundle. And whether it's buy two CDs, get one free, buy two vinyl, get one free, buy two shirts, get one free, something like that. You know, make sure that you're not losing money on the deal. But those things tend to help sell more. And then people think, oh, well, I'll give this extra one as a gift to somebody.
In the CDBaby.com equivalent of that, we have the quantity discount. So if...
That's correct.
We still,
yeah,
we still have that, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
So like if you... it has to be on the same product. So if someone wanted to buy the same title, you know, two or three copies, you could set a particular discount, you know, two for one. Or maybe if you buy more than one, it's 50, you know, whatever, 30% off or something like that. But that's our version of that. And you can change it at any time. So after the holidays are over, you just go back and switch it out.
Yeah. So if you've got a new album, that's a great one to encourage people to buy. You know, if they buy two, they get the second one half off and it displays on your CD Baby page. So that's a good one as well. What tip do you have, Chris?
All right. So I've mentioned this one already, but Spotify playlists. So if you have a Christmas song, whether it's a Christmas classic or a new original, you should create a playlist of a bunch of your favorite seasonal songs and throw yours in there and share it with your fans. And I feel like, you know, holiday music has this sort of extra hook to it. So if you feel like your fans haven't been all that responsive to when you've shared other kinds of playlists, like this might be the one because everyone loves holiday music. And to promote myself for a second, I created one last night called Christmas Robley. and it's on Spotify. You can search for it. And basically I tried to stagger the song so it would be one song by my friends, alternating with kind of Nat King Cole, Bing Crosby, sort of the standards. And Kevin, your band is on there.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Was it all one word?
No, it's two words. Christmas Rebel. I don't know if it's showing up in the search yet because it just posted it, but
okay, maybe that's I was just looking and
I can send you the URL too if we want to.
Yeah, send me the URL. I want to check that out. I want to hear okay. Christmas Robley. Yeah, that's a great tip.
And I did a custom cover for it, you know, with Spotify playlists. If you're a verified artist, you can create your own little covers for these playlists, and it's fun. I'm really into playlisting right now, so.
Yeah, I think that's a great tip because I think once you've got that holiday cover song or if you've got a holiday album or if you just have a cover song or something, this is a good time of year if you've got some downtime to start putting together some playlists. That's what I'm hoping to do for Small Town Poets coming up over the Thanksgiving weekend. I thought about doing a playlist of like a Small Town Poets Christmas, like you did Christmas Robley kind of thing, or a Small Town Christmas and pull in a bunch of our songs and songs that we've enjoyed and of Christmas throughout the years and just trying to build some playlists and find some connections between music. I know some of the playlists that we've been showing up on are like Christmas 2016 or some others. It was interesting because this past week we popped up on a couple new playlists and so it's a way that people share music and so you should take advantage of it and build some playlists.
Yeah, and one other thought is that if you don't have any Christmas-related music, I think there's still Christmas related ways of sharing your regular music. Like you could create one that's maybe your holiday wish list or something, like, or an end of year recap of your favorite songs from 2016 and then put one of your songs on there. So like there's other ways of using this end of year time to bundle up music that might not be specifically holiday related.
Correct. Yes. Very good. Very good. The next thing up that I want to talk about is emailing your fans. And that kind of sounds like, yeah, obviously, but you'd be surprised at how many people don't email their fans. And I think part of the reason a lot of people don't email their fans is they're thinking, I don't know what to email. I don't know what to send these fans, especially, you know, if you're in the position like what we are with Small Town Poets. We haven't really been communicating much over the last few months. We haven't had a lot going on, but we're about to do a few shows and we've got, you know, several Christmas albums. And like I said, our catalog starts to pick up, our Christmas releases gain traction this time of year. But there's a lot of great things, even if you're not touring, that you can email about and do to encourage them to engage with your music. One is just, we were talking about playlisting, just encourage them to add your music to playlists. You know, you can create playlists, but encourage your fans to create playlists. You've probably got people in your audience that are heavy playlisters, and you should encourage them to create a playlist and add your music, or even create a challenge between your fans, like who can create the ultimate Christmas playlist? And we're all going to share these playlists and we'll all vote on it or something like that. Just get them engaged.
Conquer Christmas playlist.
That's right. This is about conquering Christmas. So you are going to conquer Christmas playlisting. But that's an idea. The other thing is make sure you actually email them any special holiday tracks or anything that you've got going on. I know artists, we get lazy and we just post on social, but email is still king when it comes to getting people to take action. They still see it as personal communication and they still click on things and buy things. So it's important to make sure that you are featuring any special holiday tracks or even, you know, the discount bundles we talked about. Make sure you put together an email and send it out a few times and make sure you send it out in plenty of time that if they were going to buy some CDs or vinyl or t-shirts or whatever, that they have plenty of time to get it in order to give as gifts.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, don't be afraid to email more than once around the holidays. Like, think of how many emails you're probably getting from like musician's friend. It might be daily during the holidays. So, you know, if you've got three or four different messages to share once a week throughout December or November and December, go for it.
Yeah, and a quick tip on email, don't put 1,000 things in there. Put 1, 2 at the most. You don't need to put your everything that's going on. Just save that for another email and make sure that they can focus on one thing that you want them to do. What's the 1 or 2 things you want them to take away from that email and make sure it's clear? Then I would also say we've done this and it got better response than I expected. Is just create a video, like a Christmas greeting video, and you can send out like a few days before Christmas. And a lot of times it's just, you know, it's just kind of fun. People just feel like, oh, that was nice of them to do that. And you can say a nice message and say hello to your fans and tell them Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and all that. The other item I have for this is just send an email saying thank you. This is the time of year when lots of people are, especially like between Christmas and the new year, a lot of people are just sort of reflecting on things. Just send a nice email saying, hey, maybe a brief sentence or two of recapping the year, just like, you know, not the whole story of the year, but just saying it's been a good year or a tough year or whatever, and we're appreciative of you being a fan and just wanted to say thanks.
So this reminds me of maybe a few months ago I had mentioned on the podcast that I owed a couple thank you cards and had not sent them. There were about a dozen, maybe even more than a dozen listeners who thankfully got on my case and reminded me on Twitter and other ways to get off my ass and send those things. I just want to assure everyone I have sent them. I sent them a couple months ago, actually, but thank you for thank you for keeping me honest.
Yeah, that's important. It's important. And speaking of thank you notes, I had two artists send me thank you notes just for us doing the conference, an artist named Paul Perdue and Gospel Lee. I know you met Gospel. He was a cool dude. He was there at both conferences, our first and second one. But it was nice. I got a thank you note in the mail. It's like, you know, putting on that conference was a part of my job, and so I wasn't expecting people to thank me for it, but they thanked me for my keynote and our efforts putting on the conference, and that just made me feel good, and I still have them on my desk.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't know if you said this in relating to this email discussion, but basically don't forget about your old releases because, you know, you might have this back catalog that might not feel timely to Christmas or timely in terms of, you know, just it being fresh music, but people need gifts, and people that fell in love with an album you made 8 years ago might think, oh yeah, I could get that for my cousin or whatever. And just reminding people that you, you know, you have some deep musical history sometimes is good for sales.
That's a good point because it's oftentimes as artists, we just feature our latest release. But like I said, this is the time of year when people are in the buying mood and they've got gift cards. They'll buy downloads. They'll want to stream tracks and build playlists. So make sure you make your fans aware of your entire catalog. Don't assume that everybody knows about all your music. That's a bad assumption. Because the more music you release, the more people are coming in, and make sure you maybe just send an email that has, hey, here's where you can get our entire catalog this Christmas. We should talk about gigs.
Okay.
Tell me about gigs.
play them. No, okay, so gigging during the holidays is a whole, or you know, can be a whole different ball game. There's a ton of non-traditional venues that open up to you. Or I shouldn't actually say that. These kinds of venues might be open to you year-round, but particularly during the holidays, there's some obvious ways to make the most of it. So, like, playing at shopping malls and shopping centers and airports and movie theaters. And we have a list on our website of these things on an article called 12 Ways to Make the Most Money from Your Music This Holiday Season. But tons of people are looking for music, and it doesn't necessarily have to be all Christmas music. You know, if you sprinkle in some carols here and there in your usual set, that can pass as a holiday concert.
Yeah, there's so much that goes on, and so many people are looking for music. It's amazing to see music pop up everywhere. And some of these opportunities, it may be too late already this year to take advantage of, like community events. There's lots of cities that do Christmas tree lightings and just have lots of events in the holidays.
And that band was probably booked in April.
Yeah, but it's if you keep your eyes open now, and the best thing to do would be to take note of everything like that, if there's the community happenings in your neighborhood and your city, and then, you know, start January, February, after the holidays are over, and start trying to find out who's in charge of putting that on. Or go talk to the artist that's playing and find out how they got the gig. That's even a better idea. But then you can start planning in advance, because a lot of those times are those things are determined by a committee. And a lot of times that person has no clue who they should pick, and it's just the artist they happen to know. So make yourself known. But office parties, I mean, it's probably still plenty of time to track down like big companies that are in your area that, you know, have rumored to throw big office parties, and they may want a band. Ask if you can come play. They may even have money. You may be able to get them to pay you a decent amount.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, for the type of artist who's a little bit more low volume, you know, maybe they don't have a whole bunch of gear, just finding a store in your town that you know is going to have huge foot traffic on the weekend following Thanksgiving, and ask if you can set up in there and play in the corner of whatever, a gift shop or a toy store or something, for, you know, play for like 8 hours, you know, with breaks. And I bet over the course of that day, you'll have played to 10 times more people than you could if you packed out a venue.
Yeah, exactly. And especially if you're a jazz artist or classical artist, I forget who I was talking to recently, but somebody I know said, I like jazz music. It reminds me of Christmas. A lot of Christmas music does have kind of some jazzy.
Well, it comes out of that Great American Songbook tradition.
Yeah.
It's the only time that music with saxophones is allowed on the radio.
That's right. Here in Portland, there's musicians all over the airports playing. And you mentioned malls and even movie theaters. some of the higher end movie theaters these days like having musicians playing, and people are waiting around for a movie. It's kind of a captive audience, and you might sell some music, and you know, be prepared in those situations. I would say in all these kind of situations, you know, there's two ways you can go. You can be the artist that's just said, oh, I'm just going to sit in the corner and play songs and be grumpy because I'm not at a venue with hundreds of people staring at me, captivated by everything I play. You can be that person, or you can be the person that knows the situation and understands that, hey, these people aren't coming to a concert, but how can I intersect what they're doing and get some traction? So, you know, having some business cards or download cards or something ready to hand people, you know, so they can find out more. Someone might be there listening to half a song and love what you're doing, but they're not there for a concert. So have something ready to give them so they can follow up, find you on Spotify, find you on iTunes, and buy CDs at your website. Just, you know, have a card ready that you can just give them. Go, hey, here's where you can find out more. And thanks for hanging out. And so you can understand the situation and adapt to it, and you'll probably see better traction.
Yeah, and maybe the most obvious non-traditional venue for a Christmas concert is a house concert, because people already have Christmas parties at their home, and if they can add music to it, great. I've been to Christmas-themed house concerts that are very much your, you know, very respectful audience house concert type thing. And then I've been to ones where it's more just a party with some music in the background. So as long as you know what you're getting into, it can be great either way.
Good point. And you know what? You could just ask your friends on Facebook, hey, does anyone need a musician for their party this Christmas or their office party? You know, don't be embarrassed to ask or think that you can only go through these things by a club booker. Just ask your friends. Someone may work at a business that's like, man, we're going to have this big blowout office party, and it'd be cool to have a band or a DJ or somebody, and you might know somebody who's looking for that. I had on my gigs thing New Year's Eve parties, and that's one of those things that I think a lot of people forget, that, you know, it's probably not too late to get on a good New Year's Eve thing, but New Year's is also sort of this little segment between Christmas and the New Year where there's lots of different parties and other gigs, lots of gig opportunities. I've played many, many New Year's Eve shows, and it's usually a cool event. People are pretty pumped and excited, and they don't leave early. That's always good.
You do have to, because, you know, those events tend to be, how do I say it? Like, it's got to be a real event. It's got to be worth going to, because there's so many options for people on New Year's Eve, whereas opposed to Christmas, it's spread out over a whole, you know, a month of various nights, various parties that happen in this build up to December 25th. But with New Year's, it's one night, so you got to make your thing worth going to.
Yeah, but with New Year's, the one thing I would say is, like you mentioned in your playlisting thing, that there was, you know, you could make a sort of a 2016 retrospective of music, like my favorite tracks for 2016. There's a lot of like wrapping up the year, looking forward to the new year. So there's a lot of content and things you can create around that as well. Like, here are the bands that I'm hoping to see in 2017, a playlist. Like South by Southwest does playlists, and I think they already have playlists going for South by Southwest 2017. So it's a good time where you can sort of change gears and look for those gigs that are different. They're not about Christmas anymore. They're just like usually a big New Year's blowout. And you can also start thinking about what kind of content you can create while people are sort of in that kind of retrospective of last year and looking ahead to the new year. What ways can you add to that?
Okay, so I've got one, which is, and again, this might be a little too late for this year, I'm not sure, but submit your holiday music to Pandora, because you would not believe how many Pandora stations are created around holiday music, and they're playing in dentist's office and stores and people's cars and everywhere. So get your holiday music onto Pandora, and once it's there, you should check out their new artist marketing platform tools, because I think they're really cool. They have one called Ampcast where you can record a voice message that's up to 15 seconds and then cue it to play before or after your tracks whenever they're served up on Pandora. So you could talk about those merch bundles or a holiday concert or whatever's relevant.
like you said, it's probably too late to get on there for this holiday season. But even if you have music on Pandora, whether it's holiday or not, again, people are going to be listening to Pandora more so this time of year. They're going to be getting new devices. We're going to be trying out things. They're going to be getting new cars where Pandora is integrated. So take advantage of that artist marketing platform. They call it AMP. If you haven't signed up for it, you should sign up for it. You should be able to get signed up in plenty of time to take advantage of that, you know, messaging your listeners through the holidays.
Yeah, and the messaging can be geo-targeted, so which is really useful if you're doing a tour. You can serve up customized messages for every region. But, you know, let's say you're only playing a Christmas show in your town. You can make sure that just those people are hearing it and it's not going to everyone around the world that's listening to music on Pandora.
So, yeah, that's a good one. And it's interesting to see, like, you know, because we do have holiday music. Last year, our music on Pandora took off like a rocket right at Thanksgiving and then dropped like a rock right after Christmas. But over that time, we had 500,000 spins. And so I'm like, huh, I need to be reaching out to those people. And so now I can, using that AMP cast program that they have. And so I intend to be messing around with that this Christmas, and hopefully we'll have something to report back. All right. I think, oh, there's one last thing that I had that I wanted to mention. And I saw a band that I'm on their email list. They're called Switchfoot, that they had a good idea that I thought was interesting for their fan list. Not only were they emailing about merch, but they, knowing that people are out there trying to find gifts for people, they came up with like three different personas that were a bundle of, you know, merch. So it was like for the outdoorsman, and it would had one typical or one kind of their shirt with, you know, some of the stuff that they have. They have extensive merch, so they had lots of things to kind of bundle together. And then it was like for the, I don't know, the other person, you know. So I thought it was interesting, though, just the idea that they came up with these bundles based on a persona that sort of helps people identify, oh yeah, my husband or my wife or sister or daughter would love that based on that persona, you know.
Racist grandpa would love that.
Hey, you got to buy gifts for everyone.
Actually, that sounds like I was making a commentary on Switchfoot. That was just from the weird part of my brain.
I knew what you were talking about, but yes, that is not a commentary on Switchfoot whatsoever. But anyway, I saw that them email that out, and I thought that was a smart idea to help people understand what, you know, who they're buying for, and then just kind of present the items for them. So they don't have to do the thinking, will so-and-so like this? Well, they're telling me that this is for the outdoorsy person. Well, they're an outdoorsy person, so I guess they'll like it, and they buy it. So that's an idea. You know, come up with some personas. You know, it, depending on the amount of merch you have, it may or may not work. Typically, you probably need more merch items just to create a bundle, that to have enough to create multiple bundles. Or if you're somebody that, like, screen prints your own T-shirts, I think that's a really cool idea that you could do quickly and screen some shirts based on, like, hey, this shirt is for this type of person. This shirt's for that type of person. Just really presenting the idea of, you know, all those folks are out there looking for presents. And if you make it easier for them to understand who it's for, you might see more sales.
Yeah, I like that one. That's good.
Yeah, that was a good one. I think I still have that email. I need to check it out again to see what the personas were.
My next one on the list, this is a bit broad, but it's Don't Forget YouTube. So by that, I mean a lot of things. One, if you have a holiday single, make a holiday video. If you don't have time to do a kind of proper music video with sets and all this thing, then do a live recording of it. Just sit on your couch in front of the tree or the fire or whatever and perform it. Like you said about the actual recordings, I think it can be, holiday videos can be a little bit more low budget, informal, fun. So that would be the first thing. About YouTube. The other was that if you have holiday music, make sure your fans know they can use your song in their own holiday family videos or whatever, you know, the user-generated content world, so you can be generating money that way. Make sure you put, if you're doing one of those merch bundles or something, make sure you put that link at the top of all your video descriptions during the holidays, or you could use YouTube cards to feature the merch site or whatever you're trying to whatever kind of messaging you're trying to get out there around the holidays, just make sure it's on your YouTube videos as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, I think holiday season, if you're playing gigs, especially if it's you're feeling like this is kind of an awkward holiday gig I got stuck in, get video of it. Turn it into something funny, you know, make poke fun at yourself or something. People love that stuff around the holidays, and it's a good way to just capture video. You know, if you end up at some crazy sweater party or something, you know, make a video out of it that's funny and entertaining that draws people into who you are as an artist. So keep the video rolling and make Christmas videos. Yeah, holiday songs, Christmas songs, get them out there on video. I've got one more, and I sort of talked about it a bit, but my last thing was do a 2016 retrospective, which I talked some about playlists, but it could be a video, it could be photos, or even just an email, a letter to all your fans that's just like, here is the story of last year. Or you can use an app. There's apps that, like, for Instagram that will do like the 9 top posts on your Instagram from last year, and those become popular this time of year. So, you know, those are always fun to look back at, and people are in that mood. So take advantage of that.
I just thought of something else. You could do a 2017, what would the opposite of a retrospective be? A forward-spective. You could predict the future and write the story of your next year as if it's happened or as if it's happening. That would be fun.
There you go. This is happening this year, folks. Get on board and don't be left behind.
So my concluding tip is the most boring of them all, but it's also essential, which is to go through all of your web presences, your website, your social media profiles, things like that, and check that the links are all accurate. You know, give your website a 10-minute refresh so it doesn't look like a ghost town. You know, maybe create some new holiday links, any of that kind of like housekeeping stuff. Just set aside some time and make sure everything is up to date, because otherwise people are going to be confused when they're trying to access your music during this holiday season, and they'll go and get Switchfoot instead.
Yeah, and make sure that at the end of the holiday season, if you put up a bunch of stuff about special Christmas offers, that you take it down.
Right.
Don't go to your website in February and go, oh crap, it still says buy one, get one free for Christmas on my website.
Definitely been guilty of that.
So this is the time of year, if you've got downtime, especially at Thanksgiving, you know, and you're like, oh, these people are kind of driving me crazy, go, I need to go update my website, and go take a few minutes, update your website. And then same around New Year's, make sure that you start pulling all that stuff down and get prepared for a new year, because it is always awkward when, you know, we've got this long holiday season that we have and Christmas is everywhere, then New Year's, and then suddenly you get to January and all that feels like ancient history, and it's a new year and it's January, and don't be the one that's still got Christmas ornaments up. Take it down and, get on with the new year. So it is important to kind of tend to your website around this time. That was a good last tip to end on.
I think we just conquered Christmas.
We conquered Christmas, and it hasn't even started yet. All right. If you've got any tips you want to share, or feedback, or a Christmas success story as well, we're open to those. 360-524-2209. Again, that's 360-524-2209, and you can email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com, and cdbabypodcast.com is the website where you can leave comments in the show notes and ask questions, comments, whatever you want to do. You can do it all right there.
You can do it all.
You can do it all. I think that takes us to the end.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
I feel very full right now, very satisfied with that holiday meal. So get out there, make something happen this holiday season, and we'll be back soon.
Yeah, and be sure to check for Christmas Robley on Spotify.
Christmas Robley. I'm going to go. You got some of that link. I need Christmas Robley in my life. All right, take it easy.
See ya.
All right, bye. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.